Hello and welcome back to the Sunday podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. As always, look, penultimate Diamond League, done and dusted. Obviously, Brussels Diamond League final coming up. We're going to chat about the Zurich results and then talk about, I guess, have a bit of a moan, mate, as per, about the Diamond League final and the wild card system. But, mate, where should we start with Zurich? Seems like ages ago now. I guess it was, what, Thursday night? Vero comes back. Thought she looked a bit leggy, but comes back with a world lead.
Definitely looked leggy in Lausanne, didn't she? But yes, smashing run from her. And more exciting than that was the fact Femke took this race on. And we were saying she needed to. She finally did it. I think it was cheeky the way Wera leaned into her with 200 to go. And you could see the difficulty. And it's what we've always said, the difficulty people are going to have getting round Femke. It's either trying to get around Wera or get around Femke. It's two very hard athletes to pass in an 800. You know, that Wera just about did it on Femke, but you could see she was caught between, do I really put my foot down or just do I just try and gradually move by? Ended up leaning in on her. I thought that was a bit cheeky, and Femke needs to get better at holding her ground. I thought it was weak from Femke, but you know, she's still learning the event, so we can't judge her too much for that. And then from that point onwards, Wera then, you know, goes from strength to strength in a 153.8. It was fantastic, and it shocked me because I thought this was a tired Wera, and obviously Keely pulled out because she wasn't quite ready, and she was still feeling leggy and tired from the Europeans and the seasons that's been. And but so for Wera to bounce back like that, what is next for her? Come Brussels, come the World Ultimates. Could see something special.
Yeah, crazy runner. Like you say, yeah, it was good to see Femke Bol get after it. And I think she just needs to keep working on that now and just almost go through quicker and quicker and quicker until she breaks some of these ladies. Georgia Hunterbell, third place, 155.0. A little bit disappointed not to go sub 155, I think, in her interview afterwards, because obviously back to the 1500 now for the Diamond League final. But yeah, classy run from her. And I think, to be honest, I didn't expect, when I predicted Georgia Bell to win, I didn't expect them to still be running 153s. I think that's, the standard's crazy. And I think it's probably a good job Keely didn't run that.
Yeah, that was a solid run from Georgia after the championships she's had. You know, she was at the Commies, Euros. You know, she's had a very, very busy summer. I think to bounce back 155.0, give her she'll go quicker. I think she'll be down on those 154s. If she was to run an 800, I have no doubt about that. But and I guess for her, from her perspective, she was like, that was the perfect race. These girls were the perfect pacemaker. The rhythm was quick, and perhaps too quick for Georgia in many regards. Like she did, it looked hard for her to hang on to them through that opening 400. Obviously, her strength steps up on the second lap and she just holds that gap. And as she gets closer to Bol as the race goes on. But yeah, I think she'll just be like, oh, you know, not once in that race did I ever have to think about positioning, really. Didn't have to move around anyone, had the inside line. So kind of look at it, could I have got more out of myself? But I think bouncing off of the championships he's had, I thought it was a very impressive run. And in the mist. How would Keely have fared? Interesting.
Yeah, I think she's just not in 154 shape. That's the issue she's had all season. So, yeah. I think we said before, Keely's so good when she's controlling races, but she needs to be not even 154 shape to challenge. She needs to be in 153 shape to even try and control that race. So I don't think it's a tactical thing. I think she's just not there at the moment. She'll get there. She'll get back there, right? But right now, this season, she's got to be in that world record shape that she talked about getting in, that her and her team know they can get in, but she's got to be in that shape to then start trying to control these races.
The problem is, it was 55 high at 400. And it's just,
Keely likes an even split.
Yeah, how can you control a race when it's 55 high? So I remember off the indoor season, they could have, you know, Keely and the team thought they could have gone quicker on that world record attempt, but they had to negotiate where in that opening 200. Indoors. Keely had to press a bit more than she would have liked on that opening 200 because you wouldn't want her to be stuck behind Wera, especially indoors. And so you're right, controlling races is now going to become increasingly difficult for Keeley. But it was a fantastic race. Lilian Adira dropped out. And the argument we'll get onto with the Diamond League final and who's running it, and we don't actually know. There's no start list for it yet. We just have to look at who's doing well on the Diamond League rankings. And it's just this, it's just this really frustrating system that it's very difficult to get hold of. Like, you know, it should be as easy as possible to look at the Diamond League standards. It's not that easy to go and find it. And then you're sort of deciding, trying to figure out who's probably going to turn down the Diamond League final because they're doing other things. I mean, Andreas Almgren won't be involved in the Diamond League final. He's going to do the World Half the week after. So you've got, you know, names like that. You also get wild cards to bring into it as well. So the sort of hype around the Diamond League final, it's difficult for us and people to really buy into. And this is where, again, you know, you look at Kerr's season and Keeley's season, they are obviously British treasures, but it is frustrating when you don't get these big matchups. And you look at the storylines that could have potentially come out of our sport on top of the incredible storylines we've already had this summer.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned Kerr, right? Like him and Ingebrigtsen technically aren't qualified at the moment for the Diamond League final. But yeah,
Ingebrigtsen will run, and I believe Kerr won't.
Yeah, so it is. Yeah, it is weird, and we can only kind of go off what we can see in terms of who has qualified, and we can predict a little bit about who's not going to turn up, can't we?
Which we will do. Let's continue to wrap up. So that was Women's Eight. Yeah, of course, that was always going to be the race of Zurich for us from a distance perspective, but by God, did De Santos look good in the four hurdles, running 45. I mean, that is sickening, 45 seconds for the four hurdles. And you know what? People are speculating, what could that man do over 800? There's a few 140 shouts being thrown around left, right, and center. And to be fair, do they have a point? I mean, we've seen how well Femke has stepped up and shown that actually it can be done. And like, what is Dos Santos? Is he 25, 26 years of age? Like, still,
maybe. Do you know what? I think it's something that you've mentioned all season, though. I think you have a really short window to be successful when you step up like that. Because I really wonder how well Femke is going to do next year if she is not as quick as she is right now. Like, you've come off being one of the best in the world over 400 and 400 hurdles, and then the next season you're running 800s. Great. Okay, so now I think we saw it came out the other day that her threshold pace is 420Ks in an article. Okay, fine. So what are you going to do? You're going to get that threshold pace down, but you're no longer able to run 48.
Yeah, there's a reason your threshold is 48
seconds for 400 meters. Are you just going to become a bang average 800 meter runner then in the next years?
Yeah, for me, Bol doesn't have to get much quicker. She just needs to become a better racer and understand the event more. If she does that, she can win championships. And if you can win championships, isn't that the objective? So, and you're looking at her and she can win.
Is she
going to
get slower, is what I'm saying? Is she going to get worse at 800 meters when her... Because how do you... It depends how much... We don't know. We don't know the ins and outs of her training, right? But in a couple of years' time, how much speed is she going to have lost by doing some of this longer stuff? I don't know.
I do kind of agree with that. But if she improves her endurance, bit of a trade-off. I think she still fears the distance of the 800. You can see it. There's a lot of caution going through her head, sort of 300 meters to go. You know, in her head, that's still a long way. Most 800 runners' head, it's like, come on, we're almost in top gear now. And I think that's why she let Wero pass there with 200 to go. But no, I do agree. 400 runners, when they do step up, they seem to have a great season initially, and then they don't get too much quicker. And so everyone's intrigued to see how she continues, but all she needs to do is basically stay the same athlete as she is now, strike that balance, just become a better racer. And if she becomes a better racer, she will win, or she'll have the ability to win championships for sure. Well, we're talking about Dos Santos. but Dos Santos, I'd love to see him try. I would. I mean, I think the conversations came, they circled around Warholm as well when he was sort of the peak of his powers. And Warholm, to be honest, came out and didn't he admit it at the time, like, I would be awful. Like, I would have way too much lactic flooding me. I won't be out. And you look at Warholm's stride, to be fair, and you're like, yeah, there's no way that's sustainable over an 800. But Dos Santos does give sort of Femke Bol similar, like, long, rangy stride, similar builds. And I could see a world where he gives it a good go. I'd be intrigued for sure. But
yeah, hey, you want to look at some of these guys when if they've ever done 600 meters indoors and things like that. That's they're the ones.
Yeah, and I guess it's probably
like your Martin Rooney's back in the day. Yeah,
got a bit about like I just like 45.8. Oh, it's just like.
Well, they have, they, like, can you imagine, like, they go through in 50.
It's ridiculous.
Like, they should just feel, feel yeah. so good.
Like, that is over the hurdles. It was very impressive. Women's steeple, Elise Thorner, solid run, man. Another 9-11, actually. Yeah.
And beat the Europeans again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she would love to run that Euros back, I'm sure. But it's impressing me how strong she is this season. How she's just keeping going, you know.
Yeah, it's just
out.
Loads of experience, isn't it? It's just loads and loads of experience, and she's not someone that's going to come out and run Liverpool. So why not? She can take a month off. She can build real slow. Yeah, maybe she will. That would be cool. But yeah, doesn't need to anyway. Like so, yeah, it's just good experience for her, isn't it? I think that's nothing much too much to say. The only thing I would say, I did think in the race, it almost looked like, I don't even know how to pronounce that, so I'm not going to try and butcher it. Doris.
Lemongole, yeah.
Lemongole, there we go. She just looked like she gave up. She just looked like she was quite happy with 8.55 and starts clapping as she finished, crosses over the line. The other person who I thought was a bit like that was Cam Myers. Like, they were kicking in the home straight in the men's three. And as soon as Parker Wolf came round him, it was almost like, well, not too fussed. Maybe he runs relaxed even when he's sprinting, as you should. But yeah, I think it was interesting the on commentary them saying, "Oh, the Americans have had such a good Diamond League season." I'm thinking, well, yeah, because
that's all they've had to do. Yeah, mate.
That's like, what else to do. Of course, they're running well.
None of them did their US champs. They've had like two Diamond Leagues they've had to peak for. They are having a good Diamond League season, and like at the World Ultimates, it will be a lot of Americans there. And even if you look at the Diamond League standings, I think they've got 5 or 6 in the men's 15 who are going to line up in, if they all do it, in Brussels and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it is going to be dominated by Americans. They're having a bloody good year. But you're right, that's all they've had to do. You know, they haven't. And again, I'll say this, the Americans, they have the best agents. They have the biggest contracts. They have the best agents. They're always going to get into a Diamond League. They're always going to get into Dominique. So, and you know, there's loads of people out there who can run 13 minutes, 12:55. But if you've got Nico Young or a European, I think the meeting director will put Nico Young. That's just one example. But you know, they do have the, I believe anyway, they've got the best agents and they're on the biggest contracts, got the best relationship with the brands as well.
They're just marketed well. So, and I think it comes from the NCAA. It's because they get marketed so well in college that they're actually, they're household names when they come out of university.
Yeah.
So.
But then in reality, you know, they'll have a PB of 331, 332.
Yeah. But they don't care. It doesn't matter. Because people, you got kids in the US looking up to the, kids in Europe looking up to those guys. Because they know who they are and they know their stories. So look at someone like Kurt, benefited off that.
Yeah, he did.
Through the NCAA, signs of an American agent with an American brand. Easy. Yes, but obviously, that 3K, Parker Wolf, nice 7:27 for him. Graham Blanks in second. So the US went 1, 2, 7, 8, and 9. Grant Fisher in 7:29. We were saying he was done. I know he's far down the field, but it's not bad, is it? 7:29.
Mate, we weren't that bad. We were just saying he's having a bad patch. But that is, I got him at 7:29 and 70. Yeah, good. But I'm loving the Parker Wolf and Ethan Strand. You know, they're backing up their college victories and successes, and those two, they can close. I just love watching them do that last 100. And I think it was clear to me that Parker Wolf was going to win this race quite early on, just given who he was up against. And I think Myers it was a 3K, so over distance, we won't judge him on sort of tying up and coming third there. But yeah, he's definitely still learning. Okay, tactically, when do I go? You know, it looked like he kind of just had enough and so just decided to go with 250, but a bit more patience, I think he would have been able to kick with Wolf and try and win.
Yeah, More American success in the men's 15. Cole Hocker up to his usual tactics, mate, just slivering up the inside. It's good from Hocker in that he consistently does it, so he must be doing something right. But I just think the rest of the athletes, how do they let him get away with it?
Yeah. It's just so difficult not to drift out, though. Like, you're tying up. Like, you have to, you're always going to drift out. And I just think whether, you know, Hocker will bide his time and he'll find room on the inside, but he has found room on the outside before. Like, it's not, you know, he has come wide and one race is coming wide. He just knows, like, you can almost guarantee that whoever is leading in this race, they're going to drift wide. Otherwise, it's the same outcome. People are just going to flood past them on the outside. And you just naturally, and I think it's so difficult to combat that. Unless people are making a conscious decision in training to like hug the inside, hug the inside, hug the inside. I just think it's going to happen.
I think it's all right for someone to come past you on the outside. Whereas like someone coming up your inside, that's like getting beaten at your near post.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like, right, yeah, if they come around on the outside, they are just like in a lot better shape. But if you like let someone sneak up your inside and give them an easy run and not have to negotiate people in the last 100, schoolboy.
Yeah. And look, the race went exactly how we predicted, right? I just think the men's 15, no one's able to take it on right now. No one's able to keep the pace hot. It's slow. What do they have? 57, 58, third lap in there before they wind up. Hocker wins at 3:31. I think it's the nature of the 15, and I think that's the way it will go in Brussels as well. It all just depends how fit Jakob is, but I don't know. Jakob's not in 3:28 shape.
Not that he's showing us anyway.
No, and he's, this is, you know, people are talking about the World Ultimates, Kerr and Jakob, and yeah, he was fifth. He was fifth. He got outkicked a good chunk, and he hasn't got that closing ability over that last 200 anymore. And this is without Cam Myers. There's a lot of guys in that race in Zurich who weren't there as well.
Yeah.
Jake Hayward, bless him, looked tired.
Yeah, but he's got himself within a spot for Dumley final, so I'm sure he'll line up. And obviously he's running in that road mile at the World Road Running Champs as well, so I think he's just picking up some more races, more experience. And I think you mentioned it last time, making up for some lost time with the injuries.
Yeah, he is, and he needs to just spend a good bit of time. What I do like about Hayward, and he's always trying to get himself. You could see he was trying to get himself in all the right positions. He just didn't have the legs over that final 300, but he was attacking. He was moving up at the right time. Yeah, he was tracking the right people. I just think when the guy's got legs, he's going to be in the right spot at the right time. Mm-hmm. So I do respect that. Okay, well, that was Zurich. It was a great Diamond League. It feels like a lifetime ago now. We had a busy weekend, so couldn't catch up. But let's talk about the Diamond League final and the problem the sport has with the Diamond League final. And obviously, Diamond League, World Athletics, they try and build this narrative of like, people need points. People need to race Diamond Leagues. We're going to have this amazing final. Get your points during the year. Get your points during the year. But then there is still loads of wildcard spots available. I mean, to run the Diamond League final and get a wildcard invite, you could be a world record holder. You could be a reigning world, Olympic or Diamond League champ. So that could be three different people. You could be top five in your event on the world rankings, or you could be top 20 overall on the world athletics rankings. That's when they pull all the events together based on your score. So there's sort of four ways to get a Diamond League final invite. And my argument is, well, if you're one of those people, it's a piece of piss to do enough Diamond League. Basically, to go to the Diamond League final, you need about 12 points and you get 8 points for a win. You need between 12 and 14 points to be the last person in at the Diamond League final, right? So effectively, Josh Kerr would only have needed to have done 2 Diamond Leagues.
Yeah.
He won in London, so that's 8 points. He just needed to do one more Diamond League.
9 in the 1500.
9 in the 15th.
So Josh Farkens on 9 in 10th.
And so, why do they even? What pains me is like, if you're going to build this narrative about the fight, why have wild cards? The sport's at a crossroads where it's like, we want the biggest names because that's going to create the best race, and you know, attract the most eyeballs. But then we also want this great sort of league narrative where there's a bit of jeopardy through the season. And the problem is the two are just contradicting each other at the moment. They're cancelling each other out. And I think they just need to commit, go with their guns and say, if you want to be part of the Diamond League final or even the World Ultimates, screw wild cards. You know, we're not asking much. If you're a good, if you're a big name and you've got a gold medal at a championship in the last year or two, or you're ranked inside the top five, like, chances are you're going to comfortably make the Diamond League final if you just line up for two Diamond Leagues. That's basically all it is. You need to do a minimum of two Diamond Leagues. And
you know, they should make it more than that. They should say, like, you have to have done.
Well, they do it off the points, and I think the point system I do think is quite a good system. But like I said to you, the start list aren't even out. They haven't decided who's running it because they're probably negotiating all these dropouts. And then who are we going to invite? Are we going to go to the next best person on points? Are we going to try and get as many wildcards in as possible? It must be a headache for the meet organizer. And we're 3 days out from this thing kicking off. And this is the problem that I think our sport faces. But one thing we do know is there's going to be very good competition and good races.
Yeah, there is. There is. But it's something that could be even better and it could be built up in a lot better fashion, right? Should we talk through who is qualified? And we can obviously speculate if they're not going to be there. So men's 800, you got Wanyonyi, Arop, Patterson, Brandon Miller, Tuau, Luchtenhaus, Mark English, and then Max Bergen is in eighth place. So technically Sajati and Muller just outside those qualification places.
Sajati will be included. Luchtenhaus has obviously ended his season after US champs. But yeah, fair play to Patterson. He's got 21 Diamond League points. That puts him third right now on the Diamond League list. So, and again, this is where, you know, he's in an event like an 800, if you get yourself in three or four of those races, you know, you have one or two good performances, it's a lot. You know, you just need to get yourself in the race because I know they do have more than eight, don't they? But, you know, it's points down to eighth place. But
the thing is, it should be your points across your best like three, I feel like, rather than just your total points.
No, I think don't overcomplicate. I think quite like the fact it's just eight for the win and then goes down to 1 point for eighth place. But again, it just needs to be publicised more. Like if you're going to call something a final, then you need to really market how people have got there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really do that, which is, for me, is frustrating. The elites pay attention because like they're all sitting in the mix zone after Zurich going, I think it was Holm Kessler. Hopefully I've done enough to get enough points. Like, I think that's me into the Diamond League final. Like the elites pay attention, but I don't even know if they care that much. It's just another race for them to do at the end of the season. So,
another paycheck, yeah. Well, Kessler is in. He's sixth, mate, so he's well in.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, and again, he hasn't been at it this year, but he's managed to get in enough Diamond Leagues to sort of rack his points up. But hey, yeah, that men's eight, Wanyonyi, Arop, Patterson, it'd be great to see him do it. This is a big opportunity to go fast. The way these men are moving, I mean, they are smoking. Brandon Miller, 2 hour. Luchtenhaus won't do it. Max Bergen technically is qualified. I don't think he's going to do it. I'd be surprised. I haven't heard too much from him after Euros. And so, yeah, substitute in probably Sajati and Muller. At this rate, they're the next best guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. Men's 15, Yara Nagus, Cam Myers, Timothy Cheruiyot, Cole Hocker, Ethan Strand, Hobbs Kessler, Vince Ciatti, Coach is in there, Jake Hayward and Robert Farkin.
Yeah. So, yeah. And
Ingebrigtsen, we expect.
Well, he's confirmed as a wild card. So Ingebrigtsen is. But yeah, guys technically missing out, Habs, Nader, Filstrom. You know, obviously you're not going to get Stefan Nielsen in there, like European gold medalist. He actually has no... So you have no Diamond League points. Blimey. No Diamond League points, but won the European Championships. That's our sport.
Yeah. And obviously, no, Whiteman not qualified neither, unless they bring him in as a wild card somehow.
Yeah, I mean, for me, they'll probably, like, Jakob's definitely in there. I think they'll probably bring in Nader off of, you know, just off of last year. They'll stretch the field out to what they got 10 qualifiers. They'll stretch the field out to 12 or 14, I'm sure. So, but they might get in. But and who wins this thing? I mean, Timothy Cheruiyot was quite Ethan Strand. To be fair, you know, despite having a great Diamond League prior to Zurich, he was shocking in Zurich. Poor positioning, too far back, came 10th. So yeah, it's, for me, it's Cole Hocker, it's Cam Myers,
yeah,
and McGuse.
Peaking at the right time, Hocker, isn't he?
That's your top three. And I think Hocker, yeah, I think he wins it. He goes on. He goes on a rampage.
Yeah, unless Jakob's hiding some tricks up his sleeve. We don't know, do we?
Don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Myers is the one man who could push this pace. Yeah, and Nagus, actually. I think Myers and Nagus are probably the two guys who will drive this pace at a crucial time.
Yeah, mate, Nagus, 43 points.
Yeah, he had a few really good early season ones, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, and Myers ran a 3:30 on Sunday in Berlin. It did a lot. Like, he basically siloed that. He had a pacemaker for a little bit, but yeah, he was kind of a little bit off the pacer as well. So he was kind of front running that. So I think Myers is probably the end of goose, two guys who might drive this, but I still think Hocker will come out on top. And the 5K.
Yeah, Barlu, Blanks, Parker Wolf, Almgren, but he's not going to do it. Yehuni, Abdullahi, Kenboy.
He's injured
Grant
as well.
Fisher. Jacob Kroll. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like, you know, Jimmy Gressier, like, who are they going to add in here? Probably Gressier, maybe. You know, he hasn't got anywhere near enough points. He's only got 2 points.
Nico Young, probably. Gets added in. Lebalu.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued.
Jacob, maybe Jakob runs a 5. Or is he definitely in the 15?
No, he's definitely in the 15. He's locked in for the 15, yeah. Yeah, and I guess I'm intrigued to see how this 5K pans out as well. Are they going to attack it, or with the World Ultimates just a couple of weeks away, is this just going to be try and get a win? It is, you know, you call it the Diamond League final, and I just wish that they just let them race. But I guess that would be too similar to the World Ultimates. Hey, there you go. That's the, and the men's steeple. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Albacali, Serum Coach. Gadana, who I thought was the absolute Donny. He was so strong. Matty Wilkins is in there for the US, Bebendorf. But, you know, who's not in there? Frederick Rupert, and he's run sub-8 minutes. You know, he hasn't got enough points. So who are they going to step up? Who are they going to add in? And I'm sure they will add in Rupert and Quirin Jean of Luxembourg as well. You know, those guys getting their European medals.
It just shows you, doesn't it? Like we've been staying, like, it just doesn't really matter. What you've been doing, because if you're anyone, you are going to get added in. Over on the women's side, obviously Vera's in, Femke Bol's in, Hodgkinson has qualified, Daguma, Borgwan's in there, Liliana Dira. So yeah, loads of athletes in there. Georgia Hunter-Bell not qualified in the 8. I know she's going to do the 15 anyway, but if she'd wanted to, technically she'd have to be a wild card or brought in from somewhere else. So yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? It would be good if Georgia Bell had.
No, it's a storyline, you know. I think if you
the 800, like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you want people to follow that narrative, if you want people to sort of keep track of the Diamond League standings, then it needs to have meaning, and you know there needs to be a cost. If you come 8th in a Diamond League mid-season, what's the cost of that? And it's the fact that you won't get in this final where there's big prize money on offer. It's a big spectacle. It's in Brussels. It's over a weekend. It's the best of the best. But obviously, it just isn't that at the moment. It just isn't that sort of cutthroat jeopardy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just basically, they'll all be there. They'll all be there. Yeah, you ran through that. Have you run through the women's? The women's 5K, I think, is, oh, I mean, that it's got 9 Ethiopians out of 10. Rose Davies is the only non-Ethiopian to be in the top 10 on points. And that is because all of these Ethiopians did so many 5Ks early season. You think about the ones in China, the two Diamond Leagues there. I think it might have been Rabat. Like, they were the only ones willing to do these Diamond Leagues early season. And they've all just got loads of points from it. And yeah, Rose Davies and actually Agnes Nagetic would be the next person.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try through those.
Jess Hull's out. Yeah. Nadia Bartoletti's out. She hasn't got enough points. But I'm sure those athletes.
Kipyegon 17th.
Yeah, well, Kipyegon's injured.
Join with Hannah Null. Yeah, but Hailu's in there, obviously. And then Getty, she's actually in there. She's 10th. She's 10th on there.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, women's 15 as well. Just, yeah, we'll just go through the girls who have qualified. So Hylam's in there, Jess Hull, Dorcas Awoy, Abby Caldwell, Georgia Hunter-Bell, obviously, Daguma, Emily McKay, Gillen Watts in there, Nikki Hilts is in there. And then we're sure that, yeah, a few more will get added from that list as well. And then finally, women's steeple, Faith Cherotic, Chemetai's in there, Yavi's in there, Tufa, Alisona, Leah Meyer, Gabrielle Jennings, Wale misses out, Noah Geruto misses out, but obviously we expect them to be lining up anyway.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, I think in the steeple and the five, in their defense, you can have sort of 14, 15 on the track, can't you? So I'm sure there'll be a few extra invites there. And, you know, even in like the men's eight, Crestan might get a lane, you know, being Belgian. So,
yeah.
But
it is valuable to win the Diamond League final, though. This is the thing. Like, it is because you get your auto queue for Worlds. So there is value in being a Diamond League champ. So they've got that end right. It's the qualification for it in the first place.
Mm. Yeah, I guess the only country probably benefits from that a good chunk is like Americans benefit a lot from that. Like, there's a lot on the lines for Americans if they can get they can get that extra person. Most nations rarely have. I mean, again, if you're like an Ethiopian in the 5K, it's probably a great addition. But you know, most nations don't tend to have three. Yeah, you're going to the Worlds or Olympics. You know, they won't have three like world class runners.
No, but it does take the pressure off a bit because you could just not worry about your champs. And I know what you're saying is the top guys aren't anyway.
But I do think that's probably why that we have seen quite a few more Americans invest and try and get towards, especially in like you look at you've got 15 and a 5, they can win. They can win that. They can get that. They can get
Just going through the previous Diamond League champions, and there's some. I feel like back in the day, some hella names in here.
Go on.
In terms of like the people, I mean, you're looking at the sprints as well. So like from 2010, when they started, it was like Tyson Gay, Asafa Powell, Usain Bolt, Gatlin, Asafa Powell, and CJ Ujo won it in 2017. over 200, it was like Walter Dix, Wallace Spearman.
Well, what do you expect? It's a Diamond League final.
No, but I feel like in recent years, it's a bit more random.
Oh, right, yeah. It's not.
Is it like back in the day, they were like your big names because they, like Kerani James winning in the 400 and LaShawn Merritt.
I think you get that now, mate. I think you get that now. I think what is a shame is they are so, I think they're very close to actually really getting the Diamond League system right. Mm. And I just think a smaller change is just scrap wildcards altogether. Bloody hell. Like, if you're good enough, you get there and you'll get there without having to do crazy things, without having to run a world record, you know? And just drive the narrative a bit more through the season that it is actually important. I think try to mix up the races during the season so that people can actually, different people can fight for the spots. Like, when you actually look at it, in most races, only 20 people have recorded a Diamond League point.
So I think what I'm
getting at, and we know it's the same people.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just my, I just look back on years ago, like with like rose tinted glasses almost, but like, I just feel like the 2025 winner in every event is just the worst athlete on the list for every event.
Remind me, what are you on about? Go through the distance?
No, for example, like Laros won in 2025, but everyone before him is like Kiprop, Suleiman. But he's not on the level of these previous winners.
He would have been. He's had some nasty injuries. What? I'm not sure, mate. Well, I know.
Grecia in the 5K.
Grecia in the 5 went and won the world champs. What? What are you on about, mate?
Oh, they're just, yeah, it's just not.
I think basically what you're saying is these people, they're not like the world record holders. They're not like these generational names. But
yeah,
they probably,
well,
by the time their career's over, they probably will be. Like, you look back at Laros and be like, yeah, fair play. Look what he's achieved. And might look back at Grecia. And like, Grecia's already achieved incredible things. Like, he only needs to get like another medal at a major. I think he's, you know, he's proved himself as, well, he's already proved himself, man.
Maybe.
But yeah. Anyway, so anything to note? I mean, we look forward to the Diamond League final, World Road Running Champs. The teams have been announced. That for me is probably we'll watch with more interest in many ways. I think that's going to be real fascinating. And in the World Ultimates, World Ultimates before the World Road Running Champs, isn't it? So yeah, 3 weekends on the bounce of basically the best of the best racing one another. And if you want to do anything this week, listen to the Coffee Club podcast. Can't believe I'm saying it, man, but they had Andreas Almgren on, and actually I got to give it to Almgren. You can tell he wanted to share his splits. Like, he had the best preparation of his life going into that European 10K, and he wants to tell people how he got there. And I respect that. I really enjoyed it. And there were points where I couldn't tell if like Olli Hooren and the other, well, I'm trying to think of his name. What's his name? Morgan. Oh God.
Morgan McDonald.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I do know his name. Yeah, I couldn't tell if they were just like genuinely confused by the splits that Almgren was saying, or they were sort of processing like, my God, this guy is so far ahead of us. because, you know, he would be like listing these filthy workouts, like, you know, 2K repeats, 5x2K, finishing in 5:03.
But they only do threshold, you see, so they would think this is crazy. Know,
he did 8x1K in 2:40. And his lactate.
They probably not run sub 3 this year.
Four minimal. Probably. It's just like, yeah. Well, they're anti. They're anti lactates. Ritzenhein, yeah. Ritzenhein's group are anti. Well, it's presumably, yeah. They're anti.
So they buy U-turn, are they? I thought that's what they used to do.
Nah. They're like, yeah. I swear they're like anti. But no, you do get the spill on some very, very impressive sessions from Andreas Almgren, and just his build in general, and also like his ideas around, you know, why that sort of threshold model works so well for him. And I do agree with him in the sense that, you know, he was running 48 seconds for 400 at 16. Like, the guy was an absolute power machine. You know, he had bags of speed. I think he even says it himself on the podcast. He's like, you know, if you're aerobic and you try and do too much double threshold, it just doesn't work for you. You know, the reason it works so well for him is because he does have that power. And that level of speed to call upon when he needs to, and that anaerobic power. Whereas I think, yeah, where people go probably a little bit wrong is overdoing the threshold, and they're still neglecting that top end, that mechanical speed side.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's a good podcast. Almgren talks very openly about his training, so enjoy that.
We've had him on as well. So if you've not listened to that, go back and check that out too. A couple of years ago now, a year ago maybe.
Yeah, and obviously, he loves the details, Almgren. You know, he's a very intelligent guy. Studied mathematics. He'll be analyzing everything, and yeah, obviously, he's preparing for that New York build. Part of me does think, everyone needs to sort of do a marathon before they do a proper marathon. Yeah, you know? I'm just like, do you need to? You know, look at Gajelcha. He wasn't like doing a marathon 2 years before he actually wanted to do his proper marathon. You know, he finished up on the track and he's like, bang. And, this, you know, so I'm going to do New York. I'm a bit like, is he just starting to go a bit early?
That's all they're doing. They're trying to take the pressure off when actually, like, if you're fit, you're fit. And you don't know what your body's going to be like in a year's time. Absolutely done, let alone 4 years' time. Yeah. And you just got to think, like, some of the athletes we've seen that you really think, like, if they'd capitalized right at the start and really just gone for it rather than trying to have a safe one and have a good experience, what times they could have run. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I just feel like just continue, you know, drilling the track, continue ripping up the 5 and a 10, and then once you're done with it, then step up, you know, make that transition when you're ready, I think. But Farah was probably the man who instigated it all when he was doing like these
the halfway
at London and this and that, like, and then he sort of did London, didn't come back to it for 2 or 3 years because he was like, yeah, just getting a feel for it. And in my head, I'm just like, mate, just be done with the track.
That was just money making though. That's different. That is smart. Like, he was just making as much money from it as he could before people realized he wasn't actually that good at the marathon.
Mm-hmm. For someone like Almgren, I think it's more just like, see how you respond to the training, because obviously that's going to, and sort of learn the build rather than, you know, the race itself. And I think that's probably what he's going to do, and analyze that and then take that into post 2028. But he's talking about, yeah, sort of going to the marathon post 2028. I'm like, you've got ages. Like you said, you don't know where your body's going to be. It's just too tempting for men. Too tempting for people these days.
Yeah, it's just so much money, isn't there? So much money in
marathons.
Yeah. And also it means that training is just easy as well. They can just go out jogging every day. They don't have to do any hard sessions.
Well, I don't know. Almgren said himself, he did the most, he won the Europeans, he did the most 64 second laps out of anyone all year. And, yeah. You know, that's it. Just drill race pace.
That's what I mean. You speak to the pros though. I'm fishing for people there, but like, you speak to them and you say like, what's the hardest session you've done? No one is coming back and saying 4x5K marathon pace. They're giving you some disgusting 3K session with some stupidly fast target times. And it is hard to train for a marathon. I'm not saying that, but
very difficult.
Training is not as, it's not as intimidating. They're never like waking up in the morning before a session and thinking, I don't think I can hit these times. Whereas you best believe, like,
don't know,
the 1500 3K guys, they get set splits or target times by their coach, and they're thinking, yeah, that is like, I have no idea whether I can do that, whether my body can move that fast. Whereas I think the marathon is the cumulative thing. Yeah, they're going into it and they're knackered and it's a long way, but they're not thinking.
I think that was the case a while back, but these days when guys are running 2-1-2-2 for fun, like 2-1-2-2 in at like one of the fast majors doesn't even win you the race. And so I think
now the
speeds are becoming outrageous, that there's definitely going to be a lot of like, can I hold, like, what are they running? It's like 2:45s, 2:250s. Yeah. Like, yeah, can I actually hold that for that long? Like, I think there definitely is that. It's becoming, and the way they're talking about it now, they're like, I've got to be able to basically get to track speed after 1:50 of running. Like, it's, mm-hmm. that is the way the event's gone now. So it's like, I need to do 1:50 and then I need it for the final 10 minutes, final 10, 15 minutes. I need to be able to go run or 1:30, I need to be able to go run some low 2:40Ks. Like, but that's what the event is. I mean, what did Kijalcha run? 26:40 for his 10 to 20K and a half. And like, yeah. Sawe, like,
I'd love to ask him though, because I bet if you asked him the hardest session he's ever done, it's still something that Alberto's saying back in the day. So anyway, I digress. I'm just looking forward to cross country, mate. It's 1st of September, done with the track. So I look forward to previewing Liverpool really already, but we'll have to.
First of September, yeah. Jesus.
Get through some track races.
10 weeks.
Yeah, mate. People listening, they'll know. They'll be training. They'll have.
There are some races we haven't even mentioned this weekend. Actually, I mean, Big Half is this weekend. Great North is the following weekend. There's some good road races. We're not giving the enough airtime, but we will do once they swing around. But again, it's just it's one of those ones where the field is. Like, obviously, there's a few, like, Ailish is doing Big Half. Rowe was supposed to be doing it, but he was announced, but obviously he's doing the world road running, so he'll do that instead. So, yeah, we'll more just sort of review those races instead of preview.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, thanks for listening to us. We'll catch you guys very, very soon.